Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 3. Psalms 3. Psalms 3. 8 verses in this psalm. And I've entitled this message, Arise, O Lord, Save Me. Now, from the title of this psalm, we're told the circumstances which was the means by which the Spirit of God moved David to pen these verses. It is a psalm that dealt with the trial that David suffered when he fled from his son Absalom. And without a doubt, the circumstances of this psalm actually refer to a part of David's life when the Lord was pleased to send that which he had promised. David would be sent because of David's transgression with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. If you want to turn to 2 Samuel 12, I'm going to read what the Lord promised, 2 Samuel chapter 12, to David because of that transgression with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 12, verse 7 to 12, and Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. You know, he told him a story about a fellow that came into town. He, you know, had a friend, a rich landowner, and this rich landowner who had a lot of cattle and sheep and stuff, didn't take one of his. Took one little ewe lamb that belonged to someone, and that's all he had, took that lamb, and used that to feed his friend. Instead of taking out of his flock. David heard that story, and it just infuriated him. Who in the world would do something like that? And Nathan said, You're the man. Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Well, here we learn that the sins of God's people truly have been purged. Atonement has been made by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But rest assured, there's consequences for disobedience in this life. There's consequences. The Lord didn't cast David out concerning his mercy, but he promised him. He said, You're going to go the rest of your life suffering. And here he is, what God promised. He said, you're going to have tribulation out of your own house. And here's Absalom. And he, He's fleeing from Absalom. So this is truly concerning David, no doubt. But in a greater sense, and we have to remember what the Lord told those two on the road to Emmaus. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures those things concerning himself. So there's a greater than David being spoken of here. Truly David, yes, but a greater than David. This is a picture, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that all the scripture gives glory and honor and praise. He says in verse 1, Lord, Jehovah, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. No doubt, Absalom had stolen, the scripture says, the hearts of God's people away from his father David and unto himself by flatteries, and causing many to turn away from David. They'll promise of me, you know, listen, my dad may not be as sensitive to you, but I will be. You got a problem, come to me. I've got time. My dad doesn't have time. He just, you know, he's got things that he's got to do, but you come to me. He stole the people's heart away. And many did. They turned from David. But what persecutions and afflictions did our Lord suffer? Let's look at this concerning the words of our Lord. How are they increased that trouble me? Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. You talk about the grace of God. It's just a continuation of the first message. Talking about the sufferings of our Lord. So here, we behold the sufferings that our Lord willingly endured on the behalf of his sheep. He came into this world for those that were given him of the Father. The Father had given him a people, a sheep, a bride. And he came into this world for those particular people that had fallen in Adam's transgression. They were all, you know, children of wrath, even as others. But those who were loved, everlastingly loved, by the one that they despised. He ever loved us. And here he cries out, I mean from birth, he was hated. Herod, you know, heard that the king of the Jews, there's a king. Where is he? Oh, if you find him, please come back. Tell me where he is, that I can worship him too. From the cradle, they say, to the cross. He was despised, rejected, hated of men. Oh, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Verse 2, many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Many say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Now, again, we can look at David. I don't want to take anything away from that. David suffered. He was a man after God's own heart, and the resentment, not only by his son, but I mean through the scriptures. You can look at Shimei, who came out. David was, you know, coming in. Shimei, he threw rocks at him and cursed him, called him everything. David realized he was hated of Saul, hated of, you know, but that resentment and hatred that our Lord endured for many who rose up against him. When the Lord Jesus Christ the scripture said. Now here's what this verse says. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There's no help. No help. And then the Spirit of God said, now you pause right there and think about that lie. You think about that lie that's being told. That same lie that Satan will come and insinuate to God's people. Whatever. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27, verse 39 to 43. Matthew 27, verse 39. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. It amazes me the distinctiveness of the Spirit of God. In their hearts, this is what they were thinking. But Spirit of God said, you even right down, they were wagging their heads. You ever see, I remember, I'd do something my dad would think was just, hideous, which was often. And look, when he do this, I'm thinking, man, I've displeased him, Yeah. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Can you imagine that? They'd heard him say that. The temple he was talking about was himself. You destroy this temple, I'll build it in 3 days. I'll rise from the grave, is what he's saying. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Oh, many there be which say of my soul, you don't have any help. You have no help in God. God Almighty will not save you. Now, you can say that about David, but be no help for you. God's not even going to help you, but you contemplate that lie, as I said, that lie of Satan, that there would be a possibility that God would forsake us. They can say, there's no help for him in God, but the Lord said, I will never leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Now, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? You going to believe myself, my deceitful heart? You going to believe somebody else that doesn't know God? Or you going to believe God? And the Spirit of God said, now you think about that. You think about that trial, that temptation, to stop and think right now. If the Lord would not sustain me, if the Lord would not uphold me, I would have no help. I love you, but you can't do anything for my soul. You can't do anything to keep me. You would probably love to be able to keep me from straying away and going off, but you can't control my mind, my heart. That there's no help. You just stop and meditate on the horror of that vicious lie that is laid down by the enemies of our souls against the faithfulness and the promise of Almighty God. Now, we're just frail creatures, and we find ourselves stumbling often. I know that under the weight of the temptations. But you hear these glorious words of comfort and truth. David says, verse 3 and 4, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Pause right there. Just pause. They're going to lie to you. They're going to lie to you. You mean to tell me that you are trusting? You're trusting now. You're going to tell me you're trusting your eternal soul. You mean to tell me that you are going to stand before God and you don't believe that there's anything that you could do? You're saying that you don't think that there's anything that a man or a woman does or can do. Now we're saying if all you'll do is, all you'll have to do is this. I'm telling you, there's no help for you. If you listen to that lie, that salvation is totally, totally by the grace of God. I know I didn't do much, but at least I walked down the aisle. I didn't do much, but I rededicated. I got in the baptismal pool. I know I didn't do much, but I prayed through. I'm faithful. There's no help for you from God. I can tell you that if that's all you're going to do. In fact, that kind of message that you're preaching right there will just lead to nothing but sin and rebellion. You think you can do anything you want to do. I am doing what I want to do. And I grieve over the things that I do, Mark, that I wish I didn't do. But thanks be unto God, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of the holy hill. Selah. Here's a blessed, blessed promise that God's people shall never fall away because God keeps them. God loves them. God sustains them. And He keeps them through faith, ready to be revealed in the last days. And I know we struggle because of another law that's in our members. That's what the Apostle Paul says, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. But by the grace of God, according to the Word of God, being kept by the power of God, God's people know that I won't stray. I won't stray everlastingly, eternally. I know even with the frailties I see in myself, God's greater than my frailties and is able. We don't disbelieve Him. Now the Spirit of God says, now you just pause and think on that. Pause on that. Think. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of His holy hill. That holy hill which the Spirit of God speaks of is that place where God has been pleased to establish His presence. When the Holy Ghost said in Psalm 2:6, yet have I set, I've anointed my King upon my holy hill Zion, upon the holy hill of His holiness. He spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ being seated as the head, priest, and redeemer, and savior of His bride, the church. So David set as king over Israel, but the picture and type here is the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning over His church. So Zion, a picture of the church over which Christ sits, that place from which Jehovah hears. I'm going to tell you something. When we cry unto the Lord, do you know why He hears? David said, I cried and He heard me out of His holy hill. He heard me for Christ's sake. He heard me for the intercession of my great high priest, the one that sits over the church and reigns. He said in verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now, here David, confident in the Lord God, related how he laid down and slept. He's in exile. He's fleeing, but he laid down peacefully, no doubt, in the assurance that the Lord God who rules in heaven and earth would not allow any danger to come to him except that which would be for God's glory and the good of David. Nothing's going to happen to me unless God allows it. Somebody said, I got sick. Well, we all get sick. I'm going through this trial. We all go through trials. But nothing comes our way that is going to be apart from God. the everlasting, eternal purpose and will of Almighty God. David said, I laid me down, I slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. Oh, but keeping in context, beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, in beholding His work of redemption and salvation for His people, do we not behold the Lord laying down His own life that His sheep might live? Now, think about this verse as the Lord giving of Himself. Why God hears us, the Lord has paid our debt. He's put away the guilt of our sin. And God the Father hears us as the Spirit of God directs our hearts to call upon the Lord as for the sake of Christ. And so he gave Himself upon Calvary, being made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But what was due us, He bore. He suffered and died that the justice of the law, that sin might be paid. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. Why? For the Lord sustained Him. Now thinking about the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, buried, and rising again that third day. Now read this verse 5. I laid down my sheep. I give my... Nobody takes my life from me, as we said. I lay it down of myself. I laid me down and I slept. God's people, that when they die in the Lord, what are they said to do? They're sleeping. And I waked. 3 days later, He came out of that grave. Why? The Lord sustained Him. He said, you will not suffer your beloved to see corruption. I came out. It was prophesied in Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. The Lord God did not allow His Son to see corruption of this flesh. He sustained Him and raised Him from the dead victoriously. And then verse 6 and 7. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Oh, what a joy. What a comfort to hear the voice of Christ as He speaks with unwavering peace in the midst of such opposition to this world. And I'm afraid of my own shadow. I told you, Glenda gets on to me all the time. She said, Marvin, you worry about things that nobody else even thinks about. I know it. I am. But all the enemies of Christ are truly the enemies of His people. And the sin, Satan, the world, me, He conquered by the shedding of His own blood. And now truly, now we don't have anything to fear. I know that. And I still find myself fearful. But here's what I know. The Lord has put away my sin. I don't have any sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus. To them that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. If I know Him, if I have truly been regenerated by the grace of God, I don't have anything to fear of my eternal soul. I know that. I'm getting older and I know it. I can't do what I want to do or could do or used to do. But I know this. I'm going to die. I know that. But He's promised to be absent from the body. He's going to be present with Him. I know that. Well, what do I have to fear? You say, well, what if you get killed? I'll be with the Lord. I'll not be afraid of 10,000 of people that set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou smitten all mine enemies on the cheekbone, broken the teeth of the ungodly. Why do we have nothing to fear? Last verse. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. You know, just if God's blessing, if salvation belongs to the Lord, and it does, and if His blessing is upon His people, we don't have a problem.
Yeah.
We have no problems whatsoever. The world can say what it will, that God's done His part, man must do his part, but listen, salvation belongs to the Lord. If He'd given me a heart to trust Him. And so, Lord, You're going to send exactly what You've purposed to send. That's what's coming. If salvation, or since salvation, is Yours, and Your blessing is upon Thy people, if You've covenanted with Yourself, Father, Son, Spirit, to save Your own, Lord, I have everything. All the truths that we have to just stop. And don't get ahead of yourself. Just stop and pause and muse upon. Consider this blessed truth. Lord, let me just think on this for a minute. And Lord, would You bless it to my heart? And would You give me some understanding? And Lord, would You comfort my heart with it? I know that all my enemies, He said, you've smitten them on the cheek, just slapped them in the face. You know, that's always an insult. Somebody slaps you in the face. Lord, save me for Your name's sake. Amen.